The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Taking you through a Friday morning here on a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Serallo, and we've got a lot of college hoops to get to, so let's not waste time. Let's take it to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in ESPN's Dallin Cuff, who's going to be on the call tonight in St. Louis. The Dayton Flyers taking on the Billikens. Little A-10 action. I love it. Dallin, how are you, and how excited are you for this conference matchup tonight?
I'm doing well, guys. It's a big game. It's a strange game because this Dayton team, you rewind, 6 weeks ago, they were probably a 6 or 7 seed in the tournament. They'd beaten UConn. They'd beaten Marquette. Flying high. These guys are struggling, and they're 4-4 in league play. They're pretty enigmatic. They're coming off a 22-point loss to your boy, Joe, the Bonnies, got him up at the Riley Center pretty significantly. And St. Louis is really good at home, and they've struggled on the road. And St. Louis, the team we thought before the season, These could be both tournament teams. Like right now, they're playing for really their seeding in the A-10 and a chance to win a championship and looking at basically a one bid league. So there's a lot on the line tonight for both these squads.
Now, do you think there's any potential with the St. Louis team, the way that they're playing, that the A-10 could go back? I mean, look, this is a conference used to get 3-4, on rare occasion 5 teams in the field of, back then it was 64. Any chance this Billikens team, with the resume they're putting together, could work their way into an at-large in your estimation, or is the A-10 strictly a one-bid league?
It's sad. It's a one-bid league. But like I said, I mean, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, you could have seen 3 or 4. Now, yeah. St. Louis didn't necessarily have the path, but your Bonnies did have a record that was really good in the non-league. Now, they didn't have many quality wins. Dayton had the quality wins. It seemed like a lock to have an at-large resume. VCU looks the part. That is the team that I think is interesting in this league, because they look like a tournament team despite losing in St. Louis midweek in a tough game and a tough environment on the road. They look the part, but they don't have the wins. It's like when you look at the A-10 right now, there's only 4 quadrant wins in the entire league, and Dayton's got 2 of them. The league has only played 24 games that were quad one games in non-league. Relative to other leagues, that is such a minuscule number that makes it tough for them to put together their resumes. That's why the non-league, they have to win some of these games, and Dayton did that. But now they are struggling. Now when you lose to George Washington by 20, you losing to the Bonnies on the road, there's no shame in that. But losing to a George Mason team that didn't have good metrics, that looks like the part right now, but aren't going to be an at-large team, it's unfortunate. League is good. The league is much better in the middle. It's better at the back end, which makes it tougher for the teams at the top to win the games that they have to win to secure that resume. So they're kind of cannibalizing themselves, and it's unfortunate for the league, but it's good basketball every game. It's just they're not going to have more than one team in the tournament, I don't think, unless something crazy happens down the stretch here.
Yeah, it's a good point you made about being a little stronger in the back end. You used to have the gimme games like, a Fordham or a LaSalle, and now Fordham's nothing to scoff at. LaSalle got my Bonnies at the Riley Center, something that I certainly didn't expect to happen. So it definitely is a deeper league, but you're missing the punch at the top. You're into some Ivy League action tonight. What do you like in this Yale-Princeton game, two of the better teams in that conference?
Yeah, I think Cornell may be one of the top two teams too. But coming into the year, this was kind of one of these showpiece games, and to see this is the first back to back week in the Ivy League back when I played in it. We did this every weekend. We did 6 straight weekends of back to back, and it was normal. Now it's abnormal for some of these guys. So interested to see how Princeton and Yale both handle this first game, because these two teams were the class of the league. I will say this: Princeton has really struggled to start in games. Like, they have started slow in a lot of league games and non-league games. Now they come in a tear in the back end. And they've got two great players. Xavier Lee is an NBA player, a 6'4 junior guard, 6'3 junior guard, great change of pace, great vision. Anybody watched him just carve up Rutgers can see what this guy can do at a very high level. And Caden Pierce, one of the best all-around players in the country. The problem is outside that, they don't have a lot of strength. They don't have a lot of physicality, which is kind of typical for some of their teams. And they lack other scoring outside those two dudes. Yale is built in a different way. They got a bunch of different guys, whether it's John Pulakitas can make shots, Townsend on the inside. They are physical. They are kind of they're the bullies of the Bulldogs are in this league. And I think they can walk into Princeton. I like them on the money line the first half to win to take the first 20 minutes. As I said, Princeton struggles. And really the spread has moved from 2.5 to 3. I still lean Bulldogs here. I think they are just the flat out the better team. Princeton's home court advantage is not what it once was. To say the fans don't turn out as much, and it's not as an aggressive environment. They can win the game, but I think Yale's the better team, and I think Yale's going to find a way to slow down those two pieces. They have the best coach in the league in James Jones, and the other guy that is vying for that position in Mitch Henderson. So it's the class of the league, but I'm going to lean to the Bulldogs on the road here to walk into Princeton and feel pretty comfortable where they're at. They've had success there in the past and knock off the Tigers.
Dallin Cuff, so much more humble than I would be, Joe. I don't know if you caught it there, that little of when I played in the Ivy League. You know?
I'd be working that wasn't lost on anyone.
I'd be working that in on every guest spot that I did. But, Dallin's a classy guy, but he keeps it humble.
When I majored in rocket science and dropped 30 a game. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if either of those things were true, I probably wouldn't be talking to you. But I can't add it. I didn't drop 30 a game.
Oh, man. All right, Dallin, let's go to the other one you got tonight. Your old squad in action, Harvard at Columbia. What are you looking at in this game?
Oh boy, the Lions, folks. The Lions, we don't like defense. We don't like the guard very much.
Who
needs it? It's kind of the approach. And when you've lost five straight, that becomes a concern. They are laying the points here. I'm going to stay away from the spread because they are an enigmatic team. And Harvard is a team that they had Princeton dead to rights on their floor and just capitulated down the stretch and lost to the Tigers. They've shown some signs of life, but they still just struggle to score. This is one of the best shooting leagues in the country, the second best league, according to KenPom, in terms of effective field goal percentage. That's always kind of been the case in the Ivy League. The difference is Columbia wants to play fast. Harvard wants to play slow. Why I like the over in this game is I don't think Tommy Amaker's scared of these guys at all defensively, and they won't necessarily play fast, but I think they can score relatively easily and relatively quickly compared to the other teams in this league in terms of how Harvard has to go against their defenses. So I'm going to take the over. It has moved. It opened 146.5. Grabbed it there last night. I think it's crept up a little bit here in the last couple hours. Overall, Columbia situations, they're going to play fast, they're going to shoot fast, and they're not going to defend very well. They do that even more so at home. A lot of their games at home have hit the 160 or 170 mark, and that's where they're at today. And this is a game that really Columbia has to win to even have a hope. Remember, guys, the Ivy League tournament now is the top four teams in the league will compete at Brown for the spot to go to the NCAA tournament. Columbia has never been in that top four since they've done this since 2017. And there were hopes that they would get there once we got to league play. But this league is tough, and they have not defended at the requisite level. And that's why I think that Harvard will be able to score enough. And Columbia will be able to get some baskets, too. Harvard's not very good defensively either. So I think the over is the play here.
Dallin, I want to ask you about the only ranked team in action here tonight. Big Ten rivalry, Indiana-Purdue. It's been a disastrous year for Mike Woodson and the Indiana Hoosiers. Purdue's laying 12 in this spot. Now, they've got back-to-back 20-point wins in the rivalry. Prior to that, Indiana had covered 3 out of 4. Even as bad as the Hoosiers are, you get a feeling they're going to get up for this game, being that in-state old conference rivalry. Is 12 points too many, or would you lay it with the Boilermakers?
Yo, you say they're going to get up. I don't know. I just don't know. Because Indiana, I talk about a team that just from the most base level of competition is to suit up and to give everything you have. And Indiana has struggled to do that consistently throughout the course of the year. And they've struggled to do that in big games against big-time opponents. You can go back to the Louisville game in Atlantis, and they didn't show up. You're playing another blue-blood program in the first round of the tournament that you're supposed to be able to maybe advance and make some noise, and you just kind of quit in the second 20. And we've seen them do this a number of times. So it's by no means a fair foregone conclusion that these guys are going to show up. What I can conclude is that Purdue is going to be ready to play. Their building is going to be on fire. And if they have them down, there is no putting the foot off the gas. So I would actually think that the first half line, I might play a first half and the total, this first half and the spread total, I should say, both ways. Because I think Purdue's going to be able to control this game. I do wonder if Indiana's got it in them to kind of really fight back. Indiana does not shoot it very well. They are very much more interior based, which I think is a bit of a problem with them against this Purdue team. Overall, I think Purdue's the better team that will play that I have more confidence in terms of how they're going to play. The other bet I would look at is Indiana team total under. They have really struggled to score at different times against solid defensive opposition. I think Purdue, given everybody talking about them last year and how great Edie was and what the expectations were, they've kind of flown under the radar in recent weeks. They've been very solid, to say the least. And Trey Kaufman, Ren's been really good. Obviously, the guard play, those guys are now juniors. They continue to improve. So I think this is – I'm all in on the Boilers here. I can't back the Hoosiers just because they've just been – they just lack the ability to show that they deserve my money, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely. And hey, you're bringing up that Indiana-Louisville game. That was like rubbing salt on the wound. I was on Indiana in that game, and that's the last time I've put money on these Hoosiers. Dallin, before I let you go, I got to ask you about the big game Saturday morning. Florida-Tennessee, top 10 matchup. Speaking of teams not showing up, not doing the bare minimum, that's what Tennessee failed to do last time they played Florida in Gainesville. Now it's in Knoxville. We don't have a number out on this game yet, but do you think there's a chance for redemption? Tennessee could win this one outright?
It's tough because, man, guys, they struggle to score, man. They really struggle to score. They're shooting 46% from the two-point line in league play. but they're shooting like 40 plus percent of their shots from three, and they're not really a good shooting team. So I really like the Gators. I think they're just, I think they're a better team. I've talked to you guys. I talked to Bet Live, all these different betting shows I do before the year. The one long shot to win the championship, which I don't love that bet, was Florida. At that time, you get between 20 and 25 to one.
Wow.
They have it all. They got great guards. They got great bigs. They can stretch those bigs. Some of them got great offensive rebounding. They are much better defensively. They're tough. They're well coached. I think they outside of Auburn are the best teams in the SEC. I would take Florida over Alabama, even so, when you think about them long term in terms of their consistency and what I think they can do in the tournament. So I think they can take the show on the road. I think they can score enough, rebound enough, and they're tough enough to win in Tennessee. And we've seen other teams be successful on Tennessee's floor. We just saw it this week. So Tennessee's got to figure out the offensive piece of this. They don't have a lot of guys in great shots, a lot of guys that can make shots. And I think this could be a bit of a challenge for them. So I'm leaning Gators, and we'll see what that line is.
Dallin, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much, and good luck on the call tonight. Enjoy that Dayton St. Louis game.
Thanks, guys. Be well.
ESPN's Dallin Cuff, kind enough to give us a few minutes while he's doing his game prep. A-10 conference action. Nothing like it, Kelly. Friday night in the A-10, fireball shooters getting thrown onto the court by the rowdy student sections. That's a true story, by the way.
Ask really?
Dan Hurley had one chucked at him at the Riley Center when I was a student there.
I'm sure.
Not by me.
I'm sure he took it well.
Tell Dan Hurley his hair looks nice. He won't take it well.
Always a mature guy on the basketball court. Absolutely, yeah.
His brother, you know what? I got to say, his brother... Arizona State's not a great hoops team. They've been decent against the number lately. His brother's been a decent bet lately. If you're looking Big 12 late night action,
Keep your eye on that one. Don't sleep
on the Sun Devils. Let's get back to the Super Bowl. Some Super Bowl 59 props up next. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a numbers game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game here on VSiN, taking you through your Friday morning as we get ready for a fun weekend, relatively quiet weekend, I would say, compared to what we've had, you know, the last 21 weeks with the NFL season. It's Pro Bowl weekend. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo. And did you watch any of the Pro Bowl festivities, we'll call them, last night?
No, but not out of spite. I was just busy with a couple things, so I did miss. I caught 2 minutes of the. What are they called? The spike challenge or whatever?
I couldn't tell you. I watched none of it.
Yeah, they had the linemen spiking balls into the ground. I was watching it on mute. We were all trying to figure out how they were measuring.
I saw the Bosa's power walking on Twitter. I saw at one point. I don't know if they were supposed to run or if
the dodgeball I usually find entertaining. So I don't know if that was last night. I missed that. I mean,
I'd rather watch the movie Dodgeball than watch Pro Bowl Dodgeball.
The one thing about dodgeball, this was when I was in Florida covered local sports. Whenever the NFL guys that were from that area, Joe, would get together, and Anquan Boldin always put on this great charity weekend every year. And part of it was a basketball game. And I always like when you get these pro athletes and you put them in another athletic atmosphere.
Make them play a different sport.
Because they're all still so competitive, right? Mm-hmm. So like the dodgeball, like if you watch it, it's entertaining to me because these guys are so into it because it's whatever. It's a game they all know is from kids, right? They all think they can beat each other.
Right.
Same thing the basketball court. You watch these NFL guys on the basketball court. It's like one of the most intense basketball games I've ever seen with some of these guys talking trash to each other. So I always like when you get pro athletes, put them in a different environment like that.
I mean, it's definitely entertaining. And I will say, look, a lot of these guys were multi-sport guys when they were in high school and whatnot. Some of them even in college. And, you know, a lot of these guys can hoop when they get out on the court. What I think, though, is funny, and it always blows my mind, and I don't think I'm the only one, is someone like A.J. Brown. You see him on the field, and he looks larger than life. Obviously, he's got the shoulder pads and the helmet on. And then you see A.J. Brown courtside next to Tyrese Maxey dapping him up. And you're like, oh, my God, the point guard for Philadelphia is 2 inches taller than A.J. Brown, who looks like this, you know, stud big target out there on the football field.
Okay, so, yes, A, that's always funny. I'm glad you saw that, that moment, too, because actually my bigger takeaway was I can't tell if Maxey's throwing this all off or if, for whatever reason, Devontae Smith and him look like they're the exact same height, when on the football field, it looks like A.J. Brown towers over him.
Yeah, that throws me off, because Devontae Smith looks tiny on the football field. And maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe the A.J. pads, Brown's just a bigger guy. Yeah. But my favorite, though, and this is the last thing I'll add on that, Chris Paul dapping up Aaron Donald being taller than Aaron Donald. Like, you just don't expect Chris Paul to be tall, not bigger, but taller than Aaron Donald. That one certainly threw me for a loop. Kelly, let's get into more Super Bowl 59 props. Did some of this right off the top. Gave out my Mahomes longest carry over 11 and a half rushing yards. I've got three more in pocket that we're going to get to, but I want to look at the Super Bowl MVP odds, because in the Super Bowl betting guide, now out for VSiN Pro subscribers, VSiN.com, we had to submit our score predictions. You're on KC 31-27. I'm on KC 30-24. And our Super Bowl MVP selection. So who did you submit for Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, that would be that name right at the top of the board, Patrick Mahomes, the real boring answer to this. I'm finding this fascinating from a betting aspect, though, this year, Joe, because this number's gotten longer. It opened most places around even money, plus 105. We're seeing plus 120 at DraftKings right now. I just think when you go to compare this to, and I'm not on the Chiefs side, technically. I know we talked about that earlier. I have an AFC to win the Super Bowl future is actually what I'm on. I'm just not buying off any of that with the Eagles. So, yeah, I'm on the Chiefs. I think if you were approaching this game with zero bets on the side, if you were interested in betting the Chiefs, I think I'd just be betting Patrick Mahomes. You are getting the best money line price I see on my odds board right now is minus 120 down at the Great South Point. It's a 40 cent difference. So what you're getting on Patrick Mahomes to win the MVP. And I just don't think we are living in a world where there are too many other options where the Chiefs are going to win this game. And there's too many other realistic options that are going to take the MVP away from Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, for me, it feels like there are three legitimate options, barring, you know, that someone on Kansas City has like two pick sixes or whatever.
Right.
I feel like it's Mahomes, Saquon Barkley, or the guy that I picked. And it says 15-1 at DraftKings. You can get 18-1 at a couple other shops. Travis Kelce. I think that there might be, in the same way that there's a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fatigue going out there, and a lot of people are betting Philadelphia, and I feel like a lot of people bet Buffalo strictly on Chiefs fatigue.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those people. When you cover 10 of your last 12 playoff games, I'd rather die with you than die trying to fade you. But I think that in terms of fatigue and an award that is, you know, I don't think taken as seriously as some other awards, I think if Travis Kelce goes out there and gives you 80, 90, 100 yards, a score, maybe two. Mahomes already has three Super Bowl MVPs. Does he need a fourth? In the same way that Julian Edelman got one. I mean, look, Brady had more passing yards than Edelman had receiving yards in that game, right? That's always going to be the case. I think if Kelce has a big game, you know, he's starting to get up there. If the Chiefs win this and Kelce has a big game, I wouldn't be shocked if he retired this offseason. I think if he has a big game, they could give it to Travis Kelce.
So you think there's partially a lifetime achievement award narrative that could come into play with Kelce?
I think so. I think absolutely. I mean, the guy has been a massive part of all three of their Super Bowl wins.
And that's a serious question, because you're running through this stuff. It is, you know, Gil brought this up yesterday or the day before. You got to keep in mind when we talk Super Bowl MVP, unlike a lot of the other awards that we talk on the show, on this network, this is not a season long. We've had months to think about who's going to be on my ballot. This is one game, and the voters got to turn in their answer, you know, before the game's over. So you got to come up with this pretty quick on the fly, and you never know what's going to influence different voters. So I don't think it's crazy. I just think it's still unlikely to me, though, because of what's the box score look like?
Right. Well, right? Kelce's got 100. Mahomes probably has three. Well, 300.
So you
yards.
Need a game where Kelce has like 100, but somehow Mahomes only has like 175.
Right.
And then a game where maybe
Mahomes threw an interception earlier, and you know maybe it's tied at 17 apiece, and Kelce breaks free for the game-winning mm-hmm. touchdown.
Yep.
You know, look, I think obviously the performance has to be there. There's no disputing that. I think there's a little bit of narrative that could play into this award too, though. And Travis Kelce, if he were to go out this way, look, all I keep thinking about is I keep going back to that divisional round game against Houston, where I was on all sorts of Kelce overs, and he was phenomenal in that game. But there was one breakaway play. I think it was a 35, 40-yard reception, his biggest play of the game, where he looked slow. And I was like, whoa, Travis Kelce 2 years ago would have scored on that play.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how much he has left in the tank. I think he's got enough to give a monster performance here. But I'm wondering if retirement is potentially, you know, being discussed around Travis and his camp.
I mean, I think maybe one more year. Although I think I agree on point with that. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this is a Chiefs win and he's retiring after this game. But it's so look, that's the Chiefs side of it. If we do talk about it from the Philly side of it,
it's Saquon or bust.
I was gonna say. So I do think you could bet, if you didn't have any bets in this game, I think a Mahomes, you know, betting Mahomes instead of betting the Chiefs, I would be fine with. If you're betting on the Eagles already, I cannot imagine not adding a piece of Saquon Barkley. I know there was a lot of double negatives. They just threw
No.
Away,
no. So it's funny because I've got it flipped the other way. Because of my Travis Kelce pick, and I understand it's a bit of a long shot, I would bet on the Chiefs laying a little bit before I would take Mahomes to win the Super Bowl MVP. But if I was an Eagles backer here, I would not actually bet on the Eagles to win the game. I would just bet on Saquon plus 260 or 3-1 at some shops.
Yeah, I think
that would be my lone bet. That would be me saying I think the Eagles win this game.
The other one I stumbled upon the other day when we were discussing this was if you look at Saquon to score 2+ touchdowns, you're actually getting a better number than what he's listed at for MVP now.
Oh yeah, 285, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like closer to 3-1. So,
still not as good of a number as multiple touchdowns should be, but
right, yeah, but it's Saquon Barkley. Yeah. It is what it is, right? So, but I think it's an interesting thought exercise because it's, okay, what are the chances, you know, the Eagles win the game, he scores 2 touchdowns and he's not MVP, probably pretty light, but then you do get the out of, he could score 2 touchdowns, you cash your ticket and the Eagles don't even have to win the game.
Right.
So I'm not saying one way or the other is definitely better. I'm just saying something for you to consider if you're someone who's looking to bet the Eagles or has bet the Eagles already.
First touchdowns plus 450. Haven't looked at the number for it, but obviously now you can do first touchdown for your team because Kansas City could obviously, you know, get the ball first, score a touchdown. I'd be curious to see what Saquon to score the first Eagles touchdown would. I'd assume that's somewhere in the plus 150 to 2-1 range, which not great for that category. It's like something like what Kyren Williams, didn't he have the first touchdown in almost 60% of Rams games this year? We've got anytime touchdown plays. We're giving out. For me, I've got one I'll give out in the next segment right here. I just talked about him, Super Bowl MVP. Obviously, I think Travis Kelce's getting in the end zone if he's my Super Bowl MVP pick. Plus 130. I love that touchdown in, 14 of his last 19 playoff games with Kansas City. He's absolutely otherworldly once the postseason rolls around. Folks, no big game is complete without a classic game of squares, but this year you can make it even better with Circa Squares bets from Circa Sports. We all know the pain of pulling those terrible numbers, but you don't have to know that pain anymore. With Circa Squares, you get to choose your square and the numbers you want. Each square has its own odds, so you're always in control of your bet. Download the Circa Sports Nevada app today and place your Circa Squares bet. Turn your big game into a big win with Circa Sports. More Super Bowl 59 props. We'll get into some fun ones too, like what color Gatorade gets dumped on the winning coach on the other side of a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Sorales.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The numbers game continues. I'm Joe Sorallo alongside Kelly Bidlin taking you through your Friday morning in for the terrific Gil Alexander here this morning. Want to remind you folks, get involved with the show on social media at the Joe Sorallo on Twitter, at Kelly Bidlin on Twitter, at VSiN Live, of course, across all social media platforms. Best tweets will get read and aired during the program. I have a feeling we're going to get to a couple of those shortly. So Kelly, where we left off, we were giving out anytime touchdown props. I'm on Travis Kelce plus 130. I've got a little sprinkle on Kelce, 18-1 Super Bowl MVP. I just can't see Mahomes getting 4 straight. Although anytime I feel like we say I can't see Mahomes doing that, he does that.
Yeah, I think so. For me, it would be almost a ladder effect with you, right? Or just to play multiple of these. If you like Kelce MVP, I agree with you. I think you're playing him anytime touchdown then.
Yeah.
And then I I'm not a person who bets anytime touchdown all that much. I think that the VIG that gets baked into that market is too much for me to get. Yeah, it's just too much for me to get over a lot of times. But the one I probably don't ask this enough of people that do bet anytime touchdown, but I think if I was betting anytime touchdown, I would also be sprinkling a little bit on first touchdown. Do you ever, do you approach that way or not? No, not really.
I never really get involved first touchdown, honestly. Okay. I mean, yeah, the numbers are sexier, the numbers are more attractive, but I just don't get involved with that, especially because so much of that has to do with the damn coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike a lot of people on Super Bowl Sunday, I do not bet on the coin toss. Do you know why?
Because you shouldn't be paying on something that you can do with your friend for free.
That's also true. No, because in Super Bowl 57, I gave out 8 bets in an Instagram reel going into that Chiefs Eagles game. I went 7-1. The one loser was the coin toss. So actual player prop bets, the last time these two teams met, and I mean, that's buried somewhere on my Instagram page. You could find that video. I was on the money with actual bets, but I should have stayed away from the coin toss.
It's I believe Rob Moreno has a t-shirt for you after the show's over. He's a t-shirt designer of just, who's always that one leg. Always that one leg. Usually the last leg, though. I like what Joe actually has, the parlay that is my favorite when people, not that that Joe was just complaining about, but my favorite when people complain about, where you're like, you're looking over the ticket, and you're like, okay, yep, 7 of 8, not bad. This is pretty good. Wait, but the first one didn't get there. Yeah. Like, you were dead off the top.
So, well, yeah, so I actually, chance. I mean, those were all straight bets. I don't do parlays anymore because I was at Super Bowl, what was it, 56, Los Angeles, right? Super Bowl 56.
Sounds right.
Rams-Bengals. I'm at the game. I've got an 11-leg parlay, and I go 10 out of 11. It was like 10 bucks. This is a couple years ago. 10 bucks to win 1,500.
Mm.
I go 10 out of 11. The only loser... Cincinnati, second half, over 10.5 points. They had 10. So after that, my parlay days were done. I was like, you got to be kidding. I hit every, like, Odell alt, you know, receiving yards and Burrow and Higgins and all that. And then Cincinnati just needed one more point, you know, realistically another field goal or something. And would have hit an 11-leg parlay.
I think it's always a good sign in almost any bettor's development if they have at some point swear off parlays. Now they can always come in handy in certain situations, but I think everybody gets to the point of swearing them off at some point if you're doing this right. I would say the sports books will miss you, but looking at the most recent numbers of parlays and how much they're making off of them, don't worry. There's about 5 guys that are lined up to take your place with firing away on parlays.
Oh, so it's all guys who look like me. Or wish they looked like me, who are in like AE Pie firing off those parlays, you know, on a Saturday night.
Hey, I'm glad you brought that up because we actually got a tweet about your looks, and this wasn't about Taylor Fritz. This is from our good friend D-Gen Southern Gent. He said, when we played the country club and theme this morning, couldn't help but picture Joe Cirola as the objectively too good looking bartender at the country club that I'm careful to not leave my wife alone with. Thoughts on that one, Joe?
Thoughts on that one? I was bartending before I got this job. Those are my thoughts on that one. I would say maybe
situation play out at all? Should guys be scared to leave their wives around you?
Kelly, you want the God's honest truth?
Yeah, of course.
I was bartending. I had a gig about a year ago. I just left this company.
Okay.
But before I got this job, when I was still doing this stuff freelance part-time, on weekends, I would bartend bachelorette parties. That was in Los Angeles how rent was getting paid.
Did you have a good time doing that, Joe?
It was a great time. Are you kidding me? Going to these mansions in Malibu that they're getting off Airbnb, working like 3 hours as a bartender. Yeah, it was a great time, my man. What do we have? More
sounds
tweets?
Sounds like a pretty good gig there, yeah. Oh, this was from the before the show from Trip Zapper. Can we get best practices for how to properly curate a Bumble dating profile from Joe Cirola? For example, is a photo at the beach a must-have? Inquiring minds want to know.
Personally, I would say just don't go on Bumble. That would be my best advice, is avoid Bumble.
Joe scoffs at Bumble.
I would say Hinge, The League, Raya. If you're going to get involved, I would go in those three directions. Beach pictures are great. Anything with an ocean, I feel like the ocean in the background just immediately triggers something in your brain that just makes you smile, makes you calm, makes you relaxed. So beach, anything with an ocean, anything with water, absolutely a go.
Okay, well, I wasn't really going to sink my teeth into this, but great tweet from Tripp. That seems like a really well-thought-out answer. Do you have any other tips out there, Joe? Because, wow, clearly you've thought about it.
Got to have one picture with friends. I mean, look, the lone wolf thing can be attractive to an extent, but you also don't want to look like you don't have any friends, like you're that full of yourself or that much of a narcissist or egomaniac. So something with friends, back end of the profile. You definitely never want a group picture to start your profile.
Right. I try to force a puppy whenever possible, you know, just borrow a friend's puppy or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Working in there,
my case, my niece. Yeah. Holding her up like Simba in one of the pictures, you know?
Well, you got to be careful with that, though, because that could send some wrong messages, too.
No, I'm not a single father. I am not a single father. Kelly, we're having fun. Let's keep the fun rolling. How about some fun bets for Super Bowl 59?
Let's do it.
Like, what color Gatorade is going to get dumped on the winning coach? Now, I've got a bit of a strategy here. It's not like I'm gatekeeping anything. This isn't top secret information. I love to correlate purple Gatorade with the team wearing white. Kansas City's going to be wearing white. Therefore, even though it's the, you know, chalky pick, if you will, my money is on purple. And like I said on my program on cashing out earlier in the week, is a $10 bet. It's 10 bucks to win 21. It's lunch money. If you're putting a dime on Gatorade, 1-800-GAMBLER, folks. But I've got my little lunch money bet on purple.
I like it. I can't hate it. We've had Chiefs past 2 years win. Guess what? They've used purple. I understand why it's plus 210. I understand why yellow is plus 220. The last time the Eagles won, guess what? It was yellow. So that makes sense. I also think yellow, you sort of works for both teams, right? The Chiefs got a little yellow in the uniform too, so it wouldn't be a huge shocker.
And the white jersey, yellow shouldn't stain. Like orange is going to stain. Red's going to stain. If the Chiefs were wearing red, I'd be interested in red, but it also probably wouldn't be 7-1.
Yeah, and they have, it was orange three Super Bowls ago. Man, the Chiefs have won so many times, it's ridiculous that we could pull.
That was Miami against the Niners, Super Bowl 54.
No, I'm talking about in 2020 they used orange, okay? The past 2 years.
Right. Miami against the Niners, 2020.
Oh, okay. What did I say? I thought I said Chiefs. Never mind.
When the Chiefs beat the Niners, Super Bowl 54, Miami. Yes, okay. Miami, 2020.
I got you. So usually, Joe, I'm a little sad this year because this market's like one of my favorite silly props to bet ever because it gets pretty subjective, right? And I've got passionate takes on Gatorade. And it's always very dumb to me that any of these other colors are used because there is a correct answer in what is the best Gatorade. It's blue. It is blue. It is the light glacier freeze blue Gatorade, light blue Gatorade. It's by far the best. It's not even really a debate. Don't come at me on Twitter. It is by far the best one. So I never understand why it's not always blue. Now, we did see the Rams and the Bucks go with it because those are smart teams. They know what the best Gatorade is. So there's a part of me that wants to bet 6-1, but knowing these teams, and we actually do have some historical trends on this stuff, I have to stay away from it this year. So you're not going to get a Gatorade bet from me this year, and it's pretty sad.
You know, we might never work together again after this. I think blue might be the worst flavor.
No, we got him to fight you.
Blue and blue is one of my favorite colors. I mean, you know, I grew up a Mets fan. Blue and orange are my favorite colors. I'm wearing blue today under the suit. I think blue and red are the worst flavors. Purple and orange are my two favorites. I haven't had Gatorade in
years. Okay, the purple one is pretty good. Don't get me wrong. Purple is number two on the power rankings.
So you like cooler Gatorade.
The red's gross, man. Like the syrupy fruit punch, rip off or whatever. That was like one of the original Gatorades. Although yellow's
the OG. The old black and white commercial that they used to run on ESPN. Hey, while we're doing fun bets, final minute here. Are you interested in any Taylor Swift bets?
No. What do you got for me?
Well, we've got, I believe it's plus 750 for the Chiefs to win and Travis to propose. Now, I don't think that's going to happen because I think Taylor's...
That's it? Plus 750?
Plus 750, yeah. Look, I don't think it's going to happen. I think, you know, even though people love to complain and cry about Taylor being on camera all the time, she's not the director in the truck going, hey, camera 12, cut to Taylor Swift, right?
Right.
She actually, I think, is pretty good about not taking up too much space in the room when it's football related. So I don't think she'd want that attention. What intrigued me was album of the year and the Super Bowl at 9-1. I saw she's about 5-1 to win album of the year. Beyonce odds on in that department.
Okay, well, I see one that's sticking out to me because we just did the whole halftime show breakdown and doesn't she's a part of a song.
Bad Blood. Kendrick's a part of her song.
So do we don't think there's any chance of that happening? I brought it up the other day when we talked about the halftime show.
If Travis wasn't playing in the game, I would say yes. I don't think she wants to take the attention away from Travis.
I think you're right. I think
she's
she's
a good girlfriend. Ladies, be more like Taylor. More bets, a numbers game after the break.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, if you're looking to get ahead of the game and change the way you bet, you need Sporttrade in your life. You could drop 10 grand or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market. Get instant acceptance to your in-game bets by checking out Sporttrade, the app that is revolutionizing sports betting as we know it. 4 cent lines instead of the typical 10, instant in-game betting, and a dedicated concierge player service make Sporttrade a premium betting experience like none other. And it's live, New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia too. Download Sporttrade today. Use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N. You'll earn 10% cash back on every wager during your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 to give it a go. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Numbers game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo. As we get ready to wrap up the program, taking you through your Friday morning. Kelly, why don't we get into some best bets?
Let's
for
do it.
The weekend to come for Super Bowl 59. Best bets, of course, folks, brought to you by our friends over at GBank, the official bank of VSiN. VSiN does recommend every bettor make the GBank Visa Signature Card part of your betting toolbox. You could save 3 to 5% on cash advance fees, earn cash back rewards on eligible betting transactions, and now for a limited time, get a $250 bonus when you open your account, spend a grand in the first 90 days. You can apply now, VSiN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank. Let's get into these best bets. I've got four props in pocket for Super Bowl 59, all on the Kansas City side. We ran through a couple of them so far. We've got Patrick Mahomes, longest carry, over 11 and a half yards. He's had a carry of 12 or more in 12 of his last 18 playoff games, a carry of 13 or more in 11 of his last 18 playoff games. And in back-to-back Super Bowls, he's had a single carry of 22 or more yards. All it takes is one blitz from this Vic Fangio defense, the pocket to collapse, Philadelphia's man coverage, which is one of the best in the game, to have some KC receivers locked up deep. And then Mahomes, open field, gets some space, takes off for 12 or more.
Yeah, I like it. It feels every big game, it feels like we see that, right? It's him dance around a bit in the pocket. Oh, yeah. His receivers are downfield, and it's, hey, look at all this empty space in front of me. Let me just go pick up an easy first down.
And you look at the receivers. I mean, these guys are all down, you know, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown. It's easy for those guys to create space and separation and give him the middle of the field to work with. Two anytime touchdown props. We're going Travis Kelce plus 130. I've also got a little sprinkle on his 18-1 Super Bowl MVP odd. So obviously, if he's going to win that award, he's going to have to get in the end zone. Xavier Worthy. We always see trickery out of Kansas City in the postseason. It wouldn't shock me if Worthy ran one in the end zone. It wouldn't shock me if obviously he caught one. But I think that Xavier Worthy is going to get involved in this game in a big way. And then Xavier Worthy, we're sticking with him, over 5.5 rush yards. Locked this in minus 110 at the beginning of the week. Andy Reid has made sure that a receiver, or actually going back to Super Bowl 54, a tight end, because Travis Kelce had a carry in that one. But a receiver or tight end has had a carry in every Super Bowl, each of the four that Andy Reid has led Kansas City to. Ironically, coincidentally, they've never exceeded 5 yards. You had Rashee Rice have 2 for 5. Tyreek Hill had 1 for 5. I think Xavier Worthy is going to get multiple carries in this one, and it wouldn't shock me if on the first one he goes for 8, 10, maybe even more. He's gone for 10 or more rushing yards 4 of his last 5 games.
Yeah, it's an angle that everybody seemed to be aware of or picked up on. I like it too, Joe. It's been on my list. We talked a lot about this Kansas City rush attack earlier and what props to look at. I bet two already. I have Kareem Hunt over on his yardage. I went under on the longest rush for Pacheco. That's just more about concerns about Pacheco's health and what's going on in that Kansas City backfield. Very apparent to me right now that Kareem Hunt is the go-to guy. However, I think if we think of how this game plays out, and if we do think there's a little bit of a weakness in the heart of that Kansas City offensive line, and the defensive tackles are as talented as they are, star for Philadelphia. If they're getting consistent pressure right up the gut of that offensive line, well, what do you do? What do you do in that situation? You throw screen passes, you do end around stuff like that, right? To get the defensive line off their toes a little bit, not just rushing straight forward at the quarterback. So I'm with you. I have not bet it yet. Like you said, the guys who hit it really at the beginning of the week, I think it opened 4.5 most places.
Right.
You got it 5.5. I still like it at 5.5. I'm just one of those people who get so bitter when you don't get the best of the number that I waited and just been angry about it for the past couple days. But I'm going to bet that as well. I think you're betting it the right way. I would bet it over the yardage. Attempts, be careful with. You brought it up how consistently in the past the Chiefs have gone to this, especially in Super Bowls, mixing in some other ball carriers. At 1.5 carries, though, I'm not sure if I'm going to expect to get it multiple times.
So that's a new market, Kelly. That wasn't around for most of the week.
It wasn't.
I was looking for an over on 1.5, and at +140, I might have to get in on it.
Okay, so here's
I like it.
Okay, so I'm going to go the other way, and actually how I might play this is a little, like, not correlated parlay and go under the 1.5 carries and over the yardage, because you're going to get a little extra bang for your buck when you don't do same-game parlays that are straight correlated like right. that. So, anyways, regardless, though, I like the rushing prop. I think that's a good one. Two in the NBA for me tonight. Bucks laying 3, Raptors laying 3. Raptors, you're looking at a worse price right now. It's up to about 4. I would still bet it there. Bucks, you can get a better number than me, because I don't know why a lot of Spurs money's coming in. This is down 2, 2.5. AJ Green questionable for the Bucks tonight. Really, really hot shooter for them this season. They need him out there. I'm hoping he goes. Bobby Portis will be out of this game. Not enough for me, though. Bucks playing some good basketball recently. Spurs, though, I've really been attacking, fading over the past week or so. Fourth time I bet against them. A team that is really struggling this week or recently, willing to lay the 3 on the road with Milwaukee.
And we'll look at some of the best bets from our guests here from today's show. How about our guy Dallin Cuff from ESPN on the call tonight? Make sure you catch him. St. Louis, Dayton, a little A-10 Friday night action. A few inebriated college kids bound to be at that one. He's got some Ivy League action. Columbia, Harvard, over .148.5. His Harvard Crimson. That Columbia team, man, they're looking good this year. I'd be lying if I said I watched a lot of Ivy League hoops. I've caught Columbia, especially some non-conference games when they were catching big numbers. They are a legit team. And then Yale, they're sorry, go on.
I'm over here smiling, Joe, because, even though I made the Ivy League joke earlier, he went to Columbia, not Harvard, so yeah.
Oh, excuse me. And then
take that, Dallin.
And then, as long as he could spell Columbia, he's ahead of the curve, right, apparently, in this country. And then Yale money line on the first half, laying 30 cents there. I think it's a good play. Look, Yale's the class of the Ivy League.
Yep, I like it. Then Paul Carr with a few soccer plays for you this weekend. He's been on an absolute heater the past few weeks. Premier League action tomorrow. Everton, he's got with just the win, -130 over Leicester City. And then on Sunday, Brentford Tottenham over 3.5. And Man City, I'm just saying, keep your eyes on this one, Joe, on Sunday, because Paul Carr has been ahead of this Man City curve seemingly since early in the summer, looking to fade them. I think he's come on here basically every week, whether it's been Champions League or Premier League, and played against Manchester City. So the fact that he's on them this weekend, it signals to me that price is way off in against Arsenal, which is a big-time matchup in the Premier League this weekend.
Hey, almost 3-1. I might place my first soccer bet of the year. Kelly, how about your guy Gil's best bets, huh?
Yeah, run through a couple of Super Bowl props. These tennis bets are old. My apologies, Brendan. Thought I got rid of them. But let's just look down at what he's got for the Super Bowl. He is on the Chiefs, so he is with us. But just in case you missed it over the past couple days, Kendrick Lamar, first song, Not Like Us, and Swimming Pools, 2-1 and 7-1, respectively, on those two. And the national anthem, under 125 seconds. So 4 bets so far for Gil in the Super Bowl. He'll be back on Monday, see if what else he's loaded up with on over the weekend.
Who's doing the anthem? Do you know off the cuff?
We said the person's name yesterday, Joe, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I
say that again, Brendan. Joe Baptiste?
John Baptiste. Okay, right, thanks, yeah, guys. Couldn't tell you. I will say, we didn't touch on any Kendrick stuff here. Swimming Pools, I mentioned that on Cashing Out the other night. 7-1. Now,
you like it too?
That's where I want to go in that market. I think Not Like Us is how he's going to end.
So
that, I think that's the way you close.
And that was Gil's point. He likes Not Like Us, but he thinks it's either going to come right. It's either going to be right at the beginning or right at the end.
Yeah.
So he likes playing that at 2-1, but he also liked mixing it in swimming pools at that longer number just because he thinks there's a good chance of that happening.
The only thing with swimming pools that kind of threw me for a loop, and some of our team in the back had mentioned this to me the other night, is, I mean, think about what the song is about, right? Is that really how you're going to open the Super Bowl singing about alcoholism in the ghetto? I don't know if that's exactly like the way you want to kick things off, but I mean, that's the song that really put him on the map. I feel like that'd be a great way to start things.
Yeah, we went through the whole Drake beef and everything. I don't know. I had similar questions, Joe. I was just like, was that how you'd want to start a Super Bowl halftime show, or how the NFL would want you to start?
Right.
But I also don't know what that process is like. So
I saw Kendrick to wear a hoodie at the start, -130.
I saw that
as
well.
I like that. Great plays from Gil there. Folks, the great content here at VSiN never stops. Stay tuned because after a numbers game, we've got money moves with our girl Stormy Bonantoni, former NFL lineman Jeff Schwartz, then prop points with the guru John Hansen, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And how about the guy that I interned for? Usually he's introing me at the end of Make It Rain, Adam Shine. Like he always says about me, Shine's got great hair. 3 to 4 Eastern. Love Shine. He's the best. Kelly, this was a blast, man.
Good times, my man. Good times. Thanks for filling in.
Absolutely. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo in for the great Gil Alexander. This is a numbers game. The great content at VSiN, though, never stops, folks.